Today we are celebrating the second week of Advent, which is the four-week preparation for the Christmas celebration. Advent has been described as a kind of a Christmas Lent, in a way, a period of reflection leading up to the birth of your own God self. We have these four gifts of spirit that we use to prepare for the birth of the realization of our own good. The realization that we too are children of God. Every single one of us are divine, holy, perfect, just as we are. That you too are Christ being, as Jesus came to share with us. Remember, he said, our Father in heaven, not mine, back off. Mine only. No, he didn't say that. He said, I am the light of the world, and you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. What I do, you will do greater. When you realize that you are this powerful spiritual being, and we, even 2,000 years later, don't really fully understand what he was trying to say to us. Meister Eckhart, the 13th century mystic and theologian, said, what good is it if Mary gave birth thousands of years ago, or a long time ago, like 1,000 years ago in his view, and we also do not give birth to Christ in our time and in our own way? He said, unless you're doing this birth as well, there's little point to the one that happened way back when. The reason we celebrate the birth of our great teacher and brother is that he showed us our oneness with God, with our divine core, with our God power within to change our lives for success and abundance and joy and wholeness. Anything that you can imagine that's good came from God within you. That's a divine idea given to you from Spirit. You didn't make it up. It's God longing to be God through you and to have this wonderful good in your life. To create the kind of life you have to, that you are here to live, regardless of how it appears on the outer with lack and limitation, perhaps, always reminding you it's around you. The four-week period of Advent, which means to arrive, that's what Advent really means. This four-week period is to get ready for that birth of the power of God within you. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the spiritual tools that we have available to us in getting ready to do this very exciting and important work of reclaiming our full identity as powerful beings of God who have at our disposal everything, absolutely everything that we need to have a happy and successful life here on planet Earth. Last week was the first Sunday of Advent, and we affirm the power of faith. Faith, our hope, is the first of the Advent gifts that we have. It's the first step in our lives of claiming the good that we've been praying for such an awfully long time. But praying for it without any real energy or without real passion or real commitment to actually having the good that we keep asking the universe for. We affirm things like, oh God, I wish I had a job. But there's nothing available. Oh, God. Or if they are, they pay lousy. And I'd have to leave New York. And I'm running out of money. Oh, God. So if I could have a job, that would be great. Okay, God, thank you. Yeah, man. Very effective. Not a very convincing prayer, is it? I don't think the universe likes whiny at all. It doesn't work for God. God's like, oh, stop. Stop with the whining. What did Jesus say? He said prayer is asking, believing passionately that the good is available to you right now, and then acting as if it has already happened. So we shouldn't be surprised to find that our faith has been in having no money. Our faith has been in having to leave New York because nothing's available for me here. of really not believing that I can have a job that will meet my needs. And more. Because it's New York after all. No, the prayer of faith is, the right and perfect job is here for me right now. I am so excited. I'm so grateful. I can't wait to see how God's working this one out. Right? The right and perfect direction for my life is here today, and I am grateful. God is the light of my path. My way is made clear. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. I give thanks for creative and satisfying work that pays more than enough for my needs and desires. Thank you, God. That's your promise. I'm waiting. Okay, go. I am a well-paid professional in New York. Right? That is your prayer. I am a well-paid actor in New York. I am a well-paid writer in New York. I am a well-paid chef in New York. I am a well-paid and deserving accountant in New York. Whatever your art is, whatever you're here to do, you are well-paid and professional, and you draw it to you now. That's your prayer. I'm a well-paid actor. Oh, God, where's my job? Is not going to work anymore. No more whining. No more bitching. No more complaining. You laugh. It's the truth. So we hear the difference. We hear the difference in the two kind of prayers that we've been praying. One's very weak, puny, whiny. The other one's strong, very clear. This is what I expect. I'm a child of God. I am a son, a daughter of royalty. So it is. So it is. Affirm that with me. So it is. Breathe in. The universe hears that and responds so much more powerfully. We're directing our energy toward lack, or we're directing it toward success. We're directing it toward limitation, or to all the good powerfully unfolding. I don't think there's anything for me here. Well, then there isn't. Go to Ohio. No offense, Pam. Thank you. Or wherever it is that you think you have to go because you can't be here. If you want to be here, be here. And say, this is my divine plan. Nobody can stop this child of God from succeeding in exactly what I want to do, no matter what it might be. Don't limit it by saying, it isn't even remotely possible. I can't see how it's going to happen. It can't come into my life. It has never worked for before. And here's why God can't bring it to me. And then you call every single person you know on the phone and tell them exactly why it can't work. This is not an effective prayer tree. No. 15 years ago, we began Unity of New York when everybody said, you can't do that. New York has never been allowed to have more than one Unity. What did we do? We said, oh, okay, thank you for sharing. And then we went to a little Greek restaurant. We met in the back. We raised the money we needed. We opened. Of course, we were barred from Unity for a couple of years. So, we're here to do our divine plan, whether World Headquarters of Kansas City says yes or no. We were here to do what we had to do. And we were so successful, they said, okay. Don't tell me miracles don't happen. We're a miracle. This is a miracle center right here. Now, did it happen the way we thought it was? Well, no. No. Ugly, as we say, ugly birth, pretty baby. Ooh. With faith, we got a building down on 36th Street. We've been there for over a year. We're selling it. Yeah. Yay. You know what? You try things. You manifest things. You say, you know what? Meh. I don't think so. We're going to do something different because this doesn't work for our community, and that's good. It's good to know that. So we're at work now, and we are succeeding in what we're doing. And nobody can stop us from doing what we're here to do. we're successful. There's no failure. Selling the building is not a failure. It's an awakening. It's a good thing. Now we move on to open up our ministry to what we're here to do, which is ministry. Not bang our head against a building trying to figure out how to pay for it. Because that was not the divine plan. What happened was we wanted it so much that we affirmed. When you affirm something really powerfully, it comes. So look out. But then you affirm again, and then you go the way you need to. But it works. Whatever you say goes as a child of God. God has a way of taking adversity and a dream and creating out of it only good, as long as you continue to see only good coming forth. We had faith in the back room of a little Greek restaurant on Columbus Avenue. It's now an Asian infusion restaurant. It's beautiful. I still walk through and go, we were born here. This is our manger, so to speak. So faith is step one. Step two, as we're celebrating today, is peace. The peace of God is a vital aspect of our spiritual work. It's necessary to do the work we're here to do. According to the Bible, peace is one of the most important qualities of life. Without peace, we don't have anything to work with. We can keep affirming, but if we're worried and stressed about it, then we're not allowing God to flow forth. There are over 400 mentions of peace in Scripture. Jesus himself said, your faith has made you whole, go in peace. That's the two part. You are whole, you affirmed, you knew the truth, and now go live your life the way you need to live it. So step one, your faith is at work. Step two, the God's continual unfoldment of that peace will bring more good, more joy, more of what you are seeking in life. He also said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. So he's saying what the world considers to be peace, which is a lack of tension, really is just part of it. The fullness of peace is the fullness of God. That power, that joy, that strength, that energy. The main philosophy that Jesus taught is we have to realize that we are one with God. And when we do that, when we know the truth, we begin to live that truth every single day. And we find our lives are working in a really terrific, powerful, fun way that we've never felt before. We find the joy and the good and the creativity that we've been lacking, and we move forward and find, I really love my life. This is really good. This is really wonderful. But we have to ask, what exactly is peace? You know, if it isn't just that absence of tension, what are we talking about? Well, peace, according to the dictionary, the first one is the absence of hostility, which I guess is a good beginning. You don't want anybody hostile around you because then, you know, it's hard to feel the peace. Number two, a state of harmony. Number three, freedom from disquieting thoughts and feelings. And four, a state of security under the law. Well, these are good beginnings. But there have been times in my life when I've had all these things, but I haven't been at peace. Things were okay. They weren't bad. But something in my life was missing. There was just something that was not quite right. Though to all appearances, everything was calm, everything was orderly, everything was, it was okay, but I did not feel at peace. What was missing? What was that something that I didn't have? What was that emptiness I was feeling in my life? Everything was just kind of gray at that point. Well, that happened right before I had my spiritual awakening in 1984. I've shared with you before how that happened. This is a whole different talk, but what happened was I had a spiritual awakening. I was in Toronto, and I was meditating, and I was blinded by light the whole nine yards. Thought I was dying, thought I was having a stroke or a heart attack or something, and I heard the voice of God say, you're here to do my work. And from then, it was just turned from theater to doing theater. Or theater in a different way. But I had that full awakening, and then I found the peace of God from within, reveal the truth of who I was and what I was here to do. The feeling was that existential void that just seemed to stretch on and on and on. I mean, I was performing, we were sold out every night, I was making good money, and it was not enough. What I thought I wanted just wasn't fulfilling me. in the way that I needed it to. It was kind of like living in C-SPAN. You ever see C-SPAN? Well, today we're going to talk about the policy of, like, thank you. There's a flat line. And that's what it felt in my life, just nothing exciting going on. So peace is not just about quiet. Peace is more than calm and serenity. It's the fullness of the soul of knowing that God is my all. God is everything that I'm looking for and more. And when I turn within, then I know that I am secure in my Creator's love and my Creator's good. Peace is actually, the word comes from the root of the Latin word pact, P-A-C-T, meaning to fasten together. So former enemies were fastened together by a pact, and the result was peace. Therefore, the word peace literally means oneness, to come together as one. And we know from our metaphysical teachings here at Unity, my enemy is nothing outside of myself. It's just my own erroneous thought about life or about what I'm going through, or a misperception of who and what I am, about my life and my situation that I find myself in. It isn't about what I'm going through, it's my perception of what I'm going through. If you feel that you have no money, then living in New York can be really quite difficult. If you have a lot of money in New York, it could feel really fun. But New York is so filled with crystal energy that whatever you're feeling is magnified at least 10 times anywhere else. So the highs are higher here and the lows are lower here than anywhere because we're concentrating that energy and we're feeding off each other. We're like little transistor radios picking up each other's thoughts. It's exhausting. It's truly exhausting. Until you take the time in the morning and the evening to center yourself in God, surround yourself in white or blue, whatever color light it works for you, and know that you are divinely protected and that your life is good. And then we move forward to be a blessing to others rather than just trying to fight life every day. So my enemy is not my neighbor who keeps playing Taylor Swift songs till 4 in the morning. My enemy is my thought, my feeling about her or Taylor or whoever she's playing. My enemy is not my boss who never says anything nice about my work, but my enemies are my thought and my feelings about her and what she is saying or not saying. The Democrats and or Republicans aren't the enemy. I'm being very ministerial here, okay. Don't get me started. It's my thoughts and my feelings about Republicans or Democrats that are actually my enemy. The reason we don't have peace in our lives is because we think something else or somebody else has more power than I do. If I feel upset about you and what you're saying or doing, I believe that you wield some kind of power over me. And that isn't true. Every child of God is no, there's no child of God more powerful than you. There's no less powerful than you. When you give your power away and believe what the other people are saying, then you're giving your power away, that's all. Time to reclaim your power and say, what you think of me, as Terry Cole Whitaker says, is none of my business. Have your thoughts about me, go for it, has nothing to do with me. If you want to be miserable about thinking of me, that's your prerogative, go for it, it has nothing to do, I'm not affected by it. Very often people want me as the minister to feel that. Some people, and you know who you are, and you often write and don't sign your name. You think I have a direct line to God, that somehow I'm God's agent, personal manager, or representative. I'm not. You are. To your own God self. I always share with people, if you don't like the way I see truth or present truth, there are so many churches and centers in this town. You don't have to be miserable. Find what works for you. I would say Unity of New York is not for everyone. Well, you have no choice. You have to be here with your mother because you're a tiny tot. But when you're grown up, you can go somewhere else. But we're here to celebrate. We're here to reclaim our power. If that doesn't work for you, find the place that does. But we're here to celebrate with each other. We get that. I'm not here as God's representative. I'm just sharing truth in the way that I understand it. That's all I can do, is just share with you how I can work it within my own life. Even the belief that life isn't bad, but it's not good, it's just kind of low-key chronic fear that we keep going through all the time. It's what we call depression. Depression is depressing the good that is within you and thinking I can't have it because of whatever reasons that you are holding as your truth. You know, we think often that life is just about being born, going to school, going to work, and giving most of your money to your landlord or the bank. Trying not to get sick or into too much trouble. And then if you're lucky, you get to die in your sleep when you're 100. I won, yay! What did you win? Exactly. Is that what life is all about? I used to have a game, it was such a funny game, it was a board game called Palm Beach. The goal of the game was to get to the chair at the clubhouse and die. It was hysterical to play, it was probably not so much fun to live. That's not why we're here. Merely existing without incident and then dying is not living. That view of life leaves out a very important understanding about life and why you're here. That is, life on the planet is training ground for your unlimited creative expression for the rest of eternity. This is training ground right here. It's a field trip for you to learn about who and what you are and how to create a life. Because if you could do it here on the planet, you could do it anywhere in the cosmos. Anywhere. This is tough. This is graduate school right here. But you're here on the planet to be joyful, to be creative, to have a really wonderful time. This is the party planet. Do you get that? Do you understand that? I always bring it up, and people are going, oh, well, here he goes again with Jesus and the wine. But it's true. The first miracle Jesus performed was what? Turning water into wine. Oh, my God, I love this guy. He's my hero. I'm Italian, you know, it's like, oh my God, look. Water to wine, oh my God. The best yet. Why? So people could party. He did it so people could get drunk. Now, if you're in recovery, Jesus is not talking to you here. He gave you the water before he turned it to wine, so you're... But for those of us who aren't, oh my God! Party planet. It's fun. It's meant to be fun and wonderful and exciting and creative, fulfilling. And if it isn't, go back and say, well, what am I doing or not doing? What am I affirming or not affirming that is keeping this joy, this good from me? And if we can do this thing called life on planet Earth with our politicians and newscasts, whether it's CNN or Fox, or whatever thing they want to present to us as truth, or taxi cab drivers who just want to ride you around and see how much money they can get out of you, or the New York Post, I'll just leave that there, or the one train going express one too many times. If you can do that here and be joyful and be centered at the same time on this really weird and wacky planet, you can do it anywhere, at any time, through all eternity. I think it was Aldous Huxley who said, what if this planet is another planet's hell? I think he may be onto something. But the hell is not eternal. The hell is, how are you going to get yourself out of hell? How are you going to live here and make it heaven? It's up to you. It's up to me. Living here on the planet is advanced spiritual work, and living joyfully and peacefully in New York City is doctorate. This is PhD stuff. If you can do it here, you've got it. Gives new meaning to it. If you can make it here, you'll make it anywhere. Saturn, Mars, Venus, doesn't matter. You do it here in New York City, in Manhattan, you've got it. You've got it. Now, the truth is, you came here to learn. Nobody forced you to come to this planet. No one forced you to the planet. Please get that. Your soul made a choice because you knew you had something to learn, to remember. You chose your parents because you had something to learn from them. Your parents made an agreement to bring you through here because they had something to learn from you too. Right, Dad? Where's Dad? Is he here? Oh, you're usually down here. Dad and Sandy are here today. So he knows what I'm talking about. We come to learn from each other, even as two Scorpios almost kill each other in the process of doing so. You came to learn about life, and you came to learn through them and through the situation you grew up in who you are. You chose to be male or female. You chose to be gay or straight or bisexual or transgendered. You chose that before you got here. You chose your skin color. Your skin color is beautiful. My skin color is beautiful. Affirm that with me. My skin color is beautiful. True. Mine's translucent. I go from blue to red and then gain a few freckles and back to blue again. But I had to learn to love it because it's mine. And put a little slather myself with that stuff. But who you are and what you are is the creation that you of your soul from before you got here. You chose to live here in New York. You know you can leave at any time, right? Even if you were born here. And if you don't like it here, believe me, somebody will take your place. So if you're going to be here, celebrate it. Revel in it. We chose what we're doing because it was the most powerful way to learn of our identity, our divinity, our power. Ourselves as radiant, beautiful, hot, passionate, unstoppable, and perfect children of God. When I'm standing up here, I see the perfection of God through you, and it's so amazing. I wish everybody could stand up here. Choir, am I right? It's sometimes hard to look at you because it's so overwhelming. Because you radiate this wonderful beauty of spirit and perfection just as you are. I wish everybody could be here to see just how powerful and wonderful you are. Bless you. You're so powerful, you chose to pretend you aren't. You're so powerful, you chose to pretend you aren't. I'm merely human, and that becomes your identity because you chose that as a powerful child of God. If you say, I am sexy at 90... you are. Dad just turned 89 a couple weeks ago. He doesn't look it. Doesn't look it. If you say, I'm tired at 29, ugh. I know you because you come through line and you tell me. You say you're tired at 29, you're going to be elderly by 42. That's the way it works. You're so powerful, you say, I never get a break, and you set yourself up to never get a break. The science section of the New York Times this year had a powerful article I cut out, and I kept reading it over and over again because the science section is saying what we in Unity have known for decades, for a century now. Which is, if you keep saying, I'm having a senior moment, you're going to create more senior moments. Do not use that term anymore, please. No more. Because you say that, and your heart and your cells begin to believe senior moments are the way that you live. No more. No more. Affirm, I am a powerful child of God, and I remember perfectly. Good. Thank you for doing that. All 10 of you. I am a powerful child of God, and I remember perfectly. Together, I am a powerful child of God, and I remember perfectly. So you stop, you don't freak out, you find the peace of God, and then you let it come forth. Sometimes it takes a little longer. That's fine. What is the name of my daughter? I can't remember what her name is. My brother's name was Paul David. My name was David Paul. Paul, David, what's that name? Get over here. Parents just kind of forget sometimes. We, as in the book of Job, we read, "You shall declare a thing, and it will be established for you." What you say goes is what it says. You call it, and then you see it. You say what it is, and then that becomes a reality. Now, of course, nobody chooses to be abused. Nobody chooses to be raped or beaten. Now, what happens if that happens? Your soul will then have an opportunity to do advanced work. Your soul then takes what happened, and you can go one or two directions. You can begin to hurt yourself more because you saw how you were hurt, or you can turn it around and say, "I'm a powerful child of God. This is not the truth of who I am. This is not the truth of a child of God. They didn't do anything to me. They did something to my body. But they can't hurt the Christ being that I am. Ever. Ever. You are whole and safe just as you were created." Now, the healing part is the healing of the psyche, the soul, whatever it might be. That's the work we're here to do. But right now, we choose to, am I going to keep being abused in my thoughts? Am I going to keep recreating that? Or am I going to move forward and say, "I have a wonderful life waiting for me, regardless of what happened"? And move forward with this wound, with this scar that you will always have, that does inform your life to some degree, but does not prevent you from living the full, successful life you came here to have. We create our lives right now by our thoughts, by our feelings, by the words we choose to speak all the time, and by the actions that we take. But it all begins with thought. Everything begins with a thought. In California, when I was doing had the church in San Francisco, a woman told me, "I love unity, but I'll never not be afraid of my father, even though he's dead." Never. He died 20 years ago, and the only thing I have is my hatred of him. If I don't have that, I don't know what I have. It kept her going, she felt. If you were abused, if you were raped, if you were perhaps mocked for some physical reason, if you were treated horribly your whole life, now is the time to bless it and give it back to God. Give it back to God. You need the healing. God has the healing. God is the healing of your life. Now is the time to let the power of peace flow forth and reclaim your life as yours. No more looking back. Now looking forward. Now is the time to see, again, it was not you who were raped. It wasn't you. That person who did it had an illness. No matter what it was, they had a soul illness. Your body may have been hurt, but you were never hurt. You, the powerful being of God, you're healthy right now. Right now. It was not you who they mocked or made fun of or abused in some way. They didn't know you. They didn't know the perfect child of God that you are. They didn't know who they were. How could they recognize you? They didn't know you were divine. They didn't know they were divine. When they lashed out at you, they were lashing out at themselves. They were trying to kill some demon deep within. Have you seen Philomena? Oh my gosh. Run. I'm not going to give it away. Don't spoil it. I will tell you, it's a movie about forgiveness. It's a movie about forgiveness. It's a true story of a person who went through hell and she survived. Go see it. Treat yourself. Judi Dench is a goddess. She's astonishing. She is astonishing. Yeah, she's really, really amazing. But it's a movie of forgiveness. It's something that we all need to do, to forgive and to take the power back. That's what forgiveness is. It's not condoning. I tried to get this woman in San Francisco to realize you're not condoning your father. You're simply taking him off your back so you can let go of the pain. Take your power back and live the life you want to live. What? Amen. There's an amazing illustration of a man who was in prison for years and years and years, and he held to the truth of God. And look what happened. He became one of our best teachers. God bless Nelson Mandela. God bless. Thank you. So again, peace is not the absence of a challenge. It's the power of God within you to turn your life around. The power you have to remain centered and joyful and serene at one with God when everything around you seems to be falling apart. It's your power of God to say, nothing shall prevail against this being of light. You have that power within you to say that right now. Again, forgiveness is the process. It's the process of taking your power back, of knowing the truth that they never had power to begin with. Those jailers never had any power over Nelson Mandela to feel what he was going to feel. No matter how long he was there, they did not have the power to take his good away, to take away what he knew he was here to do. Again, it's not condoning the action. It is realizing you cannot hurt the real me. You can't. You can't. You just can't. Jesus explained the peace of God in Matthew 6. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about the body, about what you're going to wear. Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap. Nor gather in barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Can any of you, by worrying, add 1 hour to your life? Do not worry. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Worry never brings peace. How many people here have worried yourself to success? How many people have worried yourself into a whole and vibrant body? Hands? I thought so. Who's raising a hand? Stop that. Go outside. Stand on the corner. How many people worry themselves to sleep every night successfully? I'm just going to worry a little bit and then go right off. Or how many people get up at 5 in the morning by going, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh, and then you're up for the rest of the week. Yeah, worry doesn't work. If it worked, we wouldn't even be here right now. We'd be out having a great time and worrying our way into success and health and wholeness. It doesn't work. Worry actually means I can figure this out by myself without God. That's what worry is. So if you're worrying, it means you're leaving God out. We all do it. We all do it. As the great teacher again said, ask, believing, knowing that your good is here, and then saying, thank you, God, I can't wait to see how you're going to do this. A friend of mine did this years ago. I shared the story before, but it's so powerful, and it's a great reminder of how letting go and being at peace can really work. So a friend of mine wanted to get a house. He didn't have the money to do it. He had been an actor at one time, and sometimes it's hard to get out of that actor mentality of saying, I'm going to have some money one day, and it didn't work for him quite. He didn't have the prospects of getting the cash. He didn't know where to get it from. He didn't know anyone to go to and say, hey, I want to get a house. Do you have $200,000 around that you don't want? So he did what a lot of us do. He took the 4T Prosperity Program, which, of course, you know, we offer quite often here. And he got ready to share with a small group about his desire, his prayer for having a house. And he stopped. When it got to him, he said, I can't do this. He said, what if I don't get it? I'll look like a failure. And I can't go back to Unity after that. Well, he put that thought aside because he said, oh, that's not a God thought. And he told the group what he was looking for, and they prayed with him and knew the truth with him. And immediately, as they were praying, he felt this wonderful sense of peace. He said, okay, this is God. God's got it. It's all good. He released it to God, felt great, moved on. He didn't know how it was going to work. We don't know how it's going to work, so give up knowing how. You don't know until God reveals it. But he also knew God was in charge and that he needed to relax into that truth and just let whatever's going to happen, happen. About a week later, the owner of the house came to him and said, "You got to move. I'm selling my house." And he went, "Well, that wasn't the affirmation. The affirmation for me to buy it, not be kicked out of the one I'm in now." The owner said, "Well, unless you want to buy this." And my friend said, "Get $200,000? My friend said, "Well, I actually don't have the money right now. And I really like being here, but, you know, that's the way it goes." And the owner said, "That's okay. I'm in no rush. No problem. It's just, what can you pay me right now?" They get a few hundred dollars. "It's good. All right. That's good. It's yours." He had a house. He didn't even have to move. He didn't even have to move. He was living in the house that he affirmed. The faith of God was at work, and the peace that he had about the process opened up the house for him. But he had no idea how it was going to happen. He just felt within, the peace of God is at work. I know God is at work here. However it's going to happen is going to happen. You have no idea how God is bringing your success. You have no idea. You have no idea how God is bringing your healing. You have no idea how God is bringing your house or your condo. You have no idea how God is bringing your role in a Broadway show that you've been longing for such a long time. You have no idea how God is bringing your sweet, sexy, hot, beautiful new mate. You do. Yeah. See, she affirmed. Woo! That's a good affirmation. And it's going to work for you. They'll be sitting next to you next week. I'm affirming that with you right now. So you have no idea how it's going to happen. Just give up on how. And know that it is happening. Quit trying to figure it out with your brain and just say, "Thank you, God. Thank you. I can't wait to see how you're going to work this out. It's going to be very exciting and different than I ever thought." The power of peace is in knowing that I myself do nothing until God reveals what to do. Jesus himself said that. If Jesus said it, how much more do I need to say, okay? I'm sorry, that what is powerful? Envy? Envy is powerful. Being green is not powerful, okay? Not at all. No, your good will be your good. When your good shows up, it's going to look different than anybody else's. You cannot follow another person's divine plan. If you try to follow their divine plan, your divine plan will not come forth. Let it go. Let it go. Let God do it through you. Breathe into your heart. Let it go. You have no idea how that healing is going to happen. You have no idea how your success is going to come. You never did and you never will until God says, "Here it is." You might have a vision and it might kind of look like that a little bit, but it's good. Whatever it is good. You know, we, on the other hand, cursed up a blue streak when a little thing goes wrong. You know, Jesus woke up and there was a storm. "Rabbi, wake up, it's storming." He says, "Oh, peace be still. I was sleeping, it was so nice. Why'd you wake me up? You couldn't do this." And it got calm. We freak out when it's going to rain a little bit. "Oh my God, there's a storm coming. What are we going to do? Let's go. Oh my God." Put the umbrella up and get over it. Peace be still, God. Thank you, God. It's all good. To find that peace during the storm of your life, whether at work or at home with the kids, the dogs, and a cab, getting ready for your date in the snowstorm, just let it go. Know that it's good. It's wonderful. Bless what you have and watch it unfold perfectly. Turn within and affirm, "Peace be still." Leave out the "damn it." We don't need the "damn it." Peace be still. And call it good. God, reveal your peace. Reveal your joy. Reveal the good, the success in me now. God, reveal my future husband can't be kept away by a few snowflakes. Thank you, God. Reveal to me that nothing outside of myself can take my calm, my peace away from my soul. It can't be done. All it takes is a few moments of knowing that, and you move forward confident that God is at work. Why? Because you have changed. You've become a different person. You've become the God being, the God child that you are. You know, at the end of every service, what do we sing? Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. My peace is up to me. My joy, my life is up to me. It's up to me to choose peace, to choose joy, to choose faith, to choose love. By my faith, I am healed. By my realization of oneness, I have everything that I need because it comes out of that realization. So this Advent Sunday, I invite you to find the power of peace at the center of your being and watch your life begin to heal and begin to become the joyful, successful life that you've always wanted. Take a breath. Close your eyes. Go to your heart. Whatever's happening in your life right now, go to your heart. And know your heart will tell you, not your head. Your head knows nothing until your heart tells it. We take all this within in our time of meditation, and we begin by singing our way into meditation with, I am so blessed. I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. Peace, be still, and know that I am God. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. For all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. One more time, a little quieter. Peace of God is all I want. The peace of God is all there is. No matter what is going on in your mind that you've been trying to figure out, let it go. You can't figure it out by trying to think it out. Let God reveal what your next steps are in your life. I want to begin our meditation by having you go to your best Christmas ever. Let God reveal what that is. Maybe it was last year, or maybe when you were 4 years old or five. Let the images come to you, the smell of the trees, the lights in the window, the feeling of joy or serenity that you had, the feeling of knowing that you were with people that you loved, whether they were family or a family you created. Remember that this is the holiest moment that God has for you. This is one of the most wonderful realizations of God at work. That for at least one day or one hour, you felt the presence of God, even if you didn't call it that. That in that deep peace and serenity and joy, there was God. You saw God in the people around you, in the music, in the lights,
and the food that God was radiating forth. I want you to breathe that into your heart and let that energy flow forth into every cell, every tissue, every muscle, every breath you take. And fill yourself with that Christmas spirit. Let it take hold and become the light of the world that you were created to be. Silently in your mind, I invite you to hold this wonderful truth. The peace of God heals me now. The peace of God heals me now. Let that take hold. Let God do God's work while you simply focus on the Christmas experience. Breathe into your heart and know that the peace of God prospers me now. There is no lack in God's world, in God's mind, in God's heart. Therefore, there is no real lack in you. The abundance of God overflows into your life. All that you need and more is appearing right now. Feel the peace and watch it flow. The peace of God guides me in my life. I know what to do. I know how to do it as God reveals it. There is no confusion, no doubt, simply the full realization that my life works and I know how to do it. I am peaceful. I am joyful. I am powerful because the birth of the Christ within is coming forth. In the silence of my being, I rest, I let go, and I let God. Peace, be still. Peace, be still.